Hezekiah's father was so bad that he was delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria, or king of Syria, king of the Aram. The Syrians took a great number of people and captive. They took them and brought them to Damascus. He was so bad, he was delivered into the hand of the king of Israel. The northern tribes, as bad as their kings were, Hezekiah's father was so bad that the northern tribes came down and conquered Judah. Didn't conquer them completely, but they slew 120,000 in Judah in one day, all valiant warriors. They just couldn't win. They just could not fight anybody. They couldn't sustain any kind of battle. And even Hezekiah's brother got killed by a guy from Ephraim. At one point here, when Israel, northern tribes, invaded Judah. Now, if you look at the kings of Israel, there were no good kings of Israel, none, the northern tribes. There were good kings in Judah. And we know that Judah continued even after Israel was taken captive. But during Hezekiah's father's reign, they were so bad that the Israelites from the north came down and slew them and captured 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, took them, their brethren, the women, and sons and daughters. They took them, and they were going to take them out and deport them up to Samaria. And a prophet by the name of Oded said, you know, you can't do this. You know, this is not right. Look, we're not any better than they are. They're our brethren. We just can't take them and strip them and do this. And so he pleaded for them, and they were allowed to go back to Judah. He pleaded for them. This is how bad the nation of Judah became under Hezekiah's father. Now, Hezekiah came in, and what did he do? Well, he fought against the Philistines, and he won. You'll see later on, he resists the king of Assyria, much more powerful than the king of Syria, just Aram. But let's drop down to 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 10. You remember, Hezekiah is fighting, he's doing reform on two different fronts. He is waging the war on paganism within his own country, and he's waging war against outside enemies who want to threaten Judah. So you see here in 2 Chronicles chapter 29:10, this is what Hezekiah says. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord Eternal, or with the Eternal God of Israel, that his burning anger may turn away from us. Well, Hezekiah could see this. I mean, his dad had lost so much, you know, people had been killed, 120,000 in one day. They were going to capture all these people. And, you know, the land had been filled with paganism. You remember right away, Hezekiah started burning down, cutting down the Asherim, cutting down the pagan Baal symbols, destroying the high places and all that. But I want to make a covenant. It's in my heart to make a covenant with the Eternal, the God of Israel. For what reason? That his burning anger may turn away from us. This is 2 Chronicles 29:10. And then he says to the Levites, my sons, do not be negligent now, for the Eternal has chosen you to stand before him. This is the Levites, the priests, and so on. He'd called them. He has chosen you to stand before him, to minister to him, to be his ministers and burn incense. You can't be negligent. Now, what's a covenant? What's a covenant? It's an agreement. It's a promise. You make a commitment. I want God, we will make a covenant with you. We will commit to you if you will just take away your burning anger from us. It's a commitment. Where does a covenant come from? Where do you make it? You make it in your heart. It comes from your heart. It's in my heart, Hezekiah said, to make that covenant. You know, most churches, hopefully not ours, A lot of churches have lost what is called a heart religion. It's in the heart. What does God look upon? He looks upon what? Your heart. He wants to know what you've got up here in your heart, in your mind, in the things that you feel, in the way you're conducting your life. What's in your heart? What's your intent? Okay, there's a lack of heart religion. There's so much in many churches, I don't say hopefully not in ours, but there's so much superficiality in so many churches. They're filled with a lot of religious activities and a lot of things people are just doing and, you know, making no progress. Their profession of faith is often very cosmetic. The kind of religion that God stands for is loyalty, to stand when it's hard, when it's tough to stand for God when it's not easy to stand for God. This is the kind of religion God wants. Only those whose heart is in with God, whose heart is in it, will survive under the test of adversity. God wants our heart. That's what he wants. And he wants you, he wants your heart. You know, in Proverbs 23, in verse 26, what does it say? My son, give me your heart. That's his plea for all of us. If he doesn't have our heart, really, what does he have? If he doesn't have your heart, your mind, what you believe in him and you give your heart to him, what does he have? Proverbs 3, verse 1. Let your heart keep my commandments. Let your heart keep my commandments. Well, if your heart's not in the commandments, if you don't keep the commandments from inside yourself, what do we need? We need heart. We need heart Christians to honor Christ. We need heart-dedicated people who love God with their whole what? Heart, right? You shall love the eternal your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul. So what was the purpose? Why did he want this covenant? He wanted this covenant for God so that your burning anger will turn away from us. Why was God having so much burning anger? Well, here during Hezekiah's father's reign, here's what happened. The sin, and he said, our fathers, you remember Hezekiah earlier said, our fathers had done, all our fathers had sinned, his father primarily, our fathers had sinned. So that's what. The sin was in God's eyes. We have sinned in the sight, right? The people have done evil in the sight of the eternal. The sin was against God. They have forsaken the eternal. Remember those words? Those are words that has gone. We have forsaken, our fathers have forsaken the eternal. And fourth, the sin was about God's house. What did they do? The people had turned their backs on God's house. You know, in the book of Ezekiel, one of the great images is they're here on the porch of God's house, and what are they doing? They turn their backs and they're worshiping the sun, which comes up in the east. Now, which way does the temple run? The temple runs, when you enter the temple, you enter the east side of the temple, and it runs from east to west. Where's God sitting? On the west end of the temple, in the Holy of Holies, on the west end. So what were they doing when the sun comes up? The sun comes up. Here's the God's out here on the, I don't know which way is west, but I hope this is west. But okay, God is sitting on the west side. What do? The door is here to God's temple. They stand on the porch and worship the sun. Here's the sun coming up. Their backs are toward God. You couldn't have a worse image than that. Couldn't have a worse image than that. Turning their backs, they have forsaken the eternal. They turned their backs on the house of God. They, you know, Hezekiah's father ends up shutting the doors to the church, shutting the doors to the temple, turning out the lamps to the eternal, destroying the utensils of the house of God. He did all of that. So Hezekiah calls these people. He calls all these Levites, priests, people who had served God. He says, you know, you're supposed to serve God. And this is what he said. He said, we've got to clean this up. We've got to turn this around. And then in verse 12, 2 Chronicles 29, verse 12, look what they did. Then the Levites arose. Mahath, the son of Amoz, and Joel, and son of Zoan, and then the sons of the Kohathites. So you have the sons of the Kohathites. The sons of Merari, you have all them. Then you have the sons of the Gershonites. And then you have the sons of Eliaphan. Then you have the sons of Hermon, and so on. This is from 2 Chronicles 29, verses 12 through 14. In verses 12 through 14, we have 14 names that are mentioned as those who were in the audience of, you know, Hezekiah. Two Levites, each from the families of Kohath, Merari, Gershon, and the family of Eliaphan. Eliaphan was the son of Azazel and the son of Kohath. Now, if you remember, all the way back in Moses' time, you see the sons of the Kohath. And most of these people were part of the musicians also that worked at the temple. So in the time of Moses, you know, you have the sons of Kohath, Amram, and so on are mentioned, Azazel, and the length of Kohath's life was 139. So Kohath died in the times of Moses, but he had a great deal of influence on the Hebrew songs and music and instruments. In the time of Moses, Kohath, you see in Numbers chapter 3 and verse 30, and the leader of the fathers' households of the Kohaths and families was Eliaphan, the son of Azazel. And then you have two Levites, by the way, from Asaph. You see the song of Asaph. You know some of the psalms from Asaph, and some of the psalms in the Bible are Kohath. You have these people. These are big people who had a lot of to do with the music and the worship music of God. All right? Of these names, all these people, now, okay, they occur also, I won't take the time to read it, in 2 Chronicles 31, verses 13 through 15. Several others are also mentioned there. So you have all these sons, all these people. Now these are, who are these? Let's go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 31. 1 Chronicles 6, verse 31. Now these are those whom David appointed over the service of song in the house of the Eternal after the ark rested there. Now you see them, the same names, you'll see them, some of these same names of these various people, okay? You come all the way down. But now Hezekiah has them. They're Levites. They're part of the worship temple, the part of the worship service of the temple. Even these musicians threw themselves into the work of cleansing the temple. Even these musicians. So you see in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 again where we were. You see they. Now they here are the supervisors. You have people. They assembled their brothers. Now the brothers are unnamed. You have all these names. Remember, we just read all these names in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. These names here, but they assembled their brothers. These are unnamed Levites. The Levites are unnamed here. They consecrated themselves and they went in to cleanse the house of the Eternal according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Eternal. That's 2 Chronicles 29, verse 5. So they threw themselves into, we got to clean this place up. dirty, filthy, left alone. It was done not haphazardly, by the way. It was done according to the commandment of the king by the words of the eternal. It was done orderly. It was done. We're going to have to do this job, that job. You know, I want to praise our church because our church has so much participation. And I want to thank all of you because when we do something, we set up, you know, like if we have coffee or if we have luncheon, so many people participate. They just, everybody's willing to do something. Everybody's willing to serve. They're trying to do something for someone else. And that is such a wonderful thing. And that's what you had here. All the people seemed, all these people threw themselves, including the musicians. They didn't say, well, I'm a musician. I don't do this dirty work. Well, they did. Everybody threw themselves in. Everybody did the dirty work. And it was not easy. And it wasn't haphazard. It was orderly. It conformed to God's instruction. Remember, David wanted to. Remember when David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant? Remember, what happened when David decided, you know, we finally got the, you know, remember the Ark of the Covenant had been captured under Eli and had been gone away. The Philistines had it for a while and all the stuff that came back. And when David got it, David said, I want to take it up to the house of the Eternal. I'm going to take it up. Now, David had a good idea. He said, let's just get a couple of oxen. Let's put it on this cart. And let's send it up. We're going to bring it up to the place of God. Do you remember what happened on that occasion? The oxen are coming up. Clump, 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 clump. And the ark is on this thing. And these guys are walking beside it. And, you know, different ones. And the oxen stumble. The ark tips. One of the guys thinks it's going to fall on the ground. He grabs it. And what happened to him? You remember what happened to him? He was struck down dead. David saw that. Oh, no. And David got real discouraged. The anger of the Eternal burned against his name was Uzzah. And God struck him down for his irreverence. And David was then became, David, oh no, I'm afraid of the Eternal. I'm afraid of Yahweh. I'm afraid of Jehovah. I don't know what to do now. And David said, how can the Ark of the Eternal come to me now? I can't do it. David was then unwilling to move the Ark into the city of David. But he set it aside and took it to this house of Obed-Edom, a Gittite. Hey, here you put. Can we put this place, this thing, in your place for a while? We're not touching it. We're not going to touch it. And of course, while it was there with the Gittite's house, what happened to the Gittite? He was prospered. He was blessed. His health improved. Everything happened to him. It was good. The Ark of the Eternal was in his place. He was doing good. Finally, David learned. What did David learn? You don't go about the Eternal's work haphazardly. You don't put the Ark of God on a little wagon hauled by a couple of oxen that can stumble and move and may not always walk in tandem. How was the ark to be carried? Who could carry the ark? How many know who could carry the ark? Only Levites could carry the ark. It was not supposed to be put on and carried by oxen. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 1, we read this. This is how David learned the lesson. He learned it. Now David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, now he learned, verse 2, 1 Chronicles 15, verse 2. Then David said, no one is to carry the ark of God but the Levites. See him right there. He learned. For the Eternal chose them to carry the ark of God and to minister to him forever. And David assembled all Israel at Jerusalem to bring the ark of the Eternal to the place which he had prepared for it. And of course, they were all shouting. It was wonderful things. And they brought it. So it was not happy. You don't do things for God in a haphazard, careless way. It has to be done appropriately and right. And David learned. You don't put the Ark of God and have two oxen carry it on this rickety wagon up here. It would only be carried by the Levites. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 now, dropping down to verse 15. When they had assembled their brothers and consecrated themselves, they went to purify the temple of the Eternal as the king had ordered, following the word of the Eternal. The priests went into the sanctuary of the Eternal to purify it. So it was all orderly. Who could go in to the sanctuary, the part where you did the worship service and where the incense burning and so on was, the incense censer was and all that? Only the priests. They brought out to the courtyard of the Eternal's temple everything unclean that they found in the temple. So they went in, the priests, they started cleaning on the inner side of the temple. The Levites took it, so they went into the temple, they brought out anything they felt was dirty. Here, take this. The Levites were there to receive it. They took it and carried it to the Valley of Kidron, okay? The Kidron Valley. Now, some duties, you know, a lot of people think, well, if I could become a lawyer, that's really a cushy job. Let's say you're a janitor, you know, or I could become a lawyer. That's this all fun job, fun work. Or if I could become this, it would be all fun work. Or if I could work at Trader Joe's, that'd be all fun work. You know, brethren, I don't care where you were. Or I could become an accountant. It's all fun. It's joyous and good. If I could become a carpenter, that would be all good. If I could become a plumber. I don't care where you go. I don't care what job you have. There's always some distasteful duties, some duties you don't like. It's not fun. That part of the job is arduous. That part of the job may be boring. That part of the job is difficult. That part of the job is the part you don't like. I don't care what job you have. Some part of it is what you're not going to like. And being a psychologist, you say, well, that's fun. That should be fun. Well, there's some parts of it I don't like. There's some parts. There's some parts of it you have to write reports. There's some parts of it you have to go online and do this for somebody. You have to fill out forms. You have to do this. You have to. I don't like that. I didn't care for that. I don't mind, you know, scoring tests and stuff like that. But, you know, there are some parts you just don't like. I don't care what job you have, there's some place in that job that is not glorious and that you're not going to like it. So here they were. The priests go in, they carry out what was unclean, and they give it to the Levites. The Levites have to handle it and take it and throw it in the Kidron Valley. Okay? Even in the church, you know, there are different duties. Not everybody gets everything. It looks good. You say, well, the singers up here, that looks glorious. Well, you don't know. They have to get here early. They practice ahead of time. That's not the fun part. It looks like fun. You don't know. You think Harold just gets up here and sings? Yes, he just gets up here and sings. You don't know how many times he's had to practice that song at home. He listens to it, he practices it, he goes over it. He has to get the timing, he has to understand that. He has to understand where he's going to be loud, where he's going to be soft. He's got to know how to use his microphone. All that. There are parts not glorious. You say, well, David, you get to preach up there. That's glorious. No, well, yeah, it may be glorious, but you don't know what it's like when I'm reading and I've had to study and I've had to put this scripture with that and I have to go over it and make sure that we have the combination and make sure I get it right and all. Yeah, that part is not glorious. A lot of things are not glorious. In the church, not every position. And we go, and you know, God uses us based on certain talents that we have. But I am very proud, I'm very pleased with our church here, that people throw themselves into the work, whatever we have to do. We throw themselves in. And nobody's too proud to pick up something or to do that or to carry this or to throw it away. We have wonderful servants. Most of us are serving each other. And we want to thank you for that. We'll continue in the life, the times of Hezekiah in our next sermon.